are listening to the Gospel Trail. You do not need a New Year's resolution. You need a today resolution. In the 70s, I wore a button on my long fringed leather jacket that said Jesus. And I would tell everyone, I follow Jesus because he loves me. Well, a lot of things happened since then, and I wasn't really living the Christian life. But soon, I believe it was about 10 years or more later, that I did realize that God the Father is waiting for you to run to him, just like the prodigal son that I, like many others, was, that I knew of Jesus, but I didn't make him Lord and Savior. You have our yes. Say yes to Jesus today. I believe Harmony Smith, through the Spirit of God, came up with this song in a worship leading session. Here it is played and sang by Mark James and Kathy Burton. You have our yes.
Our rights and our freedoms, our flags and our kingdoms, all of our idols must bow. Our wars and our weapons, our worldly possessions, all of our idols must bow. Selfish ambition for power and position. All of our idols must bow. Our fearful reactions and constant distractions. All of our idols must bow. Lord, our love and
affection, our time and attention. Lord, you deserve it all. Lord, you deserve it all. Lord, you can have it all.
Lord, we thank you for blessing us. I mean, as we enter into your presence, we enter into another year here real soon, and we just enter your gates with thanksgiving, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We enter the gates of your presence wherever you may be, and that is the God that is with us, and there is blessings in that presence that I wanted to press in with some music, And we got blessed in that area. And
Thank you, Lord.
Everywhere you look, God is doing something great. We have prayers and concerns that we often bring to you, Lord, but the blessings of those concerns turned into blessings, and it's, you're just a mighty God, and it's, we thank you for just being in, allowing us to be in your presence.
Yes, thank you.
Amen.
We pray for needs.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
I think too much, because you take care of us more than we deserve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Asking what, you know, they can pray for the podcast hosts. That's you, Don, and others. You know, we mentioned things on the podcast, like, you know, I'm working on getting my house rebuilt and stuff, and prayers have turned that around into, I mean, it was a big concern because, you know, you're going out on unknown territory. I mean, I've never worked with an insurance company and this and that, and there are delays and frustrations, but, you know, we're not focusing on those delays and frustrations because they just smooth themselves out.
That's right. They come out.
One at a time. My last concern with the house and those frustrations, and you say, what could get worse than this? Well, the first contractor walked off without doing any work with $17,152, which was a down payment.
On the work that they were
supposed to do. On the work that they were going to do the whole job. The day the big check came in, I was at the bank and contacted the contractor saying, yeah, the big money came in and we can get rolling here, but the bank needs a couple things like your license number and,
right.
you have to be licensed as a contractor in the state of Minnesota, according to the Department of Labor, whom I've been talking with. Anyway, it turns out he didn't have a license. He wasn't going to work with us and he left, and he says that was the down payment was for services rendered. So it's literally somebody walked off out of the room with $17,000.
Not doing anything.
And not doing anything. And what am I going to do? You know, what can I do? So some things are happening in the background, but we need God's hand in this. And that's my prayer concern at this point, is because the house is going to be done in another month or so. And that money was part of what I need to pay off the person that's actually doing the work. So Lord, wow. We just ask for your continued blessing and make this crooked way straight.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we're not asking for destruction or anything bad to happen to this person, but that, Lord, just... let him see your glory. Mm-hmm. Let him see your glory, Lord, and turn from his ways and maybe make things straight. In Jesus' name I pray.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah, we come against the evil forces at our work in this situation. And we say, we bind them and say, you get your hands off of this situation. This money is the Lord's money. And Father, I pray that you would just... I would pray that they would be just infiltrated with the Holy Spirit, with their conscience, with God revealing himself to them, and they just come to their knees and surrender their evil ways and their sin and their lies that they've perpetrated And Lord, we pray for their salvation. We pray for their salvation, that beauty would come out of these ashes, just like the rest of the story that that Kevin has had. Lord, how you provided. And we know that you're a good, good Father, and you will continue to provide. And we just want to glorify you. So we're waiting for this good report, Lord, that this would be done, because you're a mighty God, and you don't ever leave us or forsake us, that you are there. You're on the road to Emmaus with us. You are on the road to keep us on the correct path. And so we thank you for this situation. We don't have to keep it on ourselves. We give it to you and surrender it at your feet, in Jesus' name.
Father, I am in agreement with both of my brothers, and I pray that there will be miracles come out of this situation.
Yes.
And Lord, proper conviction. Lord, we know about contrived conviction, but we ask for proper conviction, that there will be a softening of the heart and a movement towards you.
Thank you.
And a willingness to do what you want. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, I pray you'll move upon this person and upon the company and those that he affiliates with, and just bring revival to them, we pray in Jesus'
name. Yes. Amen. Amen.
Amen. So either you guys got anything we should be praying about with our 12 followers? Now, we do have more than 12. Different platforms have different amounts, but I have a platform with like 5,000 on it. Another one, TuneIn, has 1,200. Just those two platforms alone, we're slowly coming up on Spotify and some of the different podcast platforms. Our website itself gets quite a few of hits, as you call it, all exposed to
Hallelujah.
The Word of God and music and genuine worship.
Right. That's great. Yeah, I have a prayer request for Pam for her quick recovery for her knee replacement. She's rounded the corner. She's starting to sleep, and things are much better, but that's a prayer. And then we're going to have Christmas with each family, and I haven't had an entire Christmas with my whole family for quite a few years, so that's happening. And we used a different approach for our giving, for our gift giving this year, is that... I suppose I better not say this because they might be listening to it before that. So, but it's a gift giving where
I think this one will be right after Christmas.
Okay, so then
this
I can
be
say
right
that.
After Christmas.
So so we're looking to others. We're looking to others, how we can bless others, the poor and the people that are in need. And so we made donations to the Salvation Army in different people's names.
Oh yeah.
To be honored, and I was at the. I'm going to cry. I was at the Salvation Army the other day, and there were 70 families per hour coming in to get food and toys for their family.
Wow.
70 per hour.
Per hour.
And that was for 2.5 days. They did that for 2.5 days.
And that's just our local Salvation Army.
That's right. It's like 900 families.
Wow.
900 families. And I love, you know, because I read the story about William Booth, too, the founder of the Salvation Army, and... doing the most good. I love that. Doing the most good is their approach. And then we're providing gift cards, gift cards to the different family members so that they would reach out to the people in their neighborhoods that are in need and give gift cards.
Yeah.
And give gift
for
cards.
For food.
Right. So it isn't like we're giving gifts. We're giving the best gift out. Because we're giving the love of Jesus Christ, and our Father wants us to do that. And I'm thankful Pam and I were in agreement about this whole thing, and so we'll be presenting that soon. We've got a gathering on Saturday and then another on Sunday. And so, I need prayer for that, you know, because we want to bless people, and we want to glorify Him. We want people to know how important Jesus Christ is. And the love of God the Father, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we want people to know where we stand, and that's how we live our lives. So we need prayer for that, you know. So that's what I would appreciate prayer for. Pam's recovery. Yes. She's doing great. So,
Lord, we thank you for your healing ability and the wisdom that you can give our local doctors or the physicians mm-hmm. of this world that care for people and repair broken parts mm-hmm. of the body.
Yes.
Lord, we just thank you that your healing grace just come over this situation and mm-hmm. and just, I guess we're just looking for a touch of God to just circumvent the pain, to circumvent the anguish and the shorten the healing process, mm-hmm. Lord, that just a touch from you, Lord, can make one whole. And we've all experienced that in some form or another, Lord, and we just mm-hmm. thank you for that, that just a touch of God, it compels. In Bible stories are not just stories, they're actual events where the woman said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And God said he just felt, Jesus being God, just said he felt that virtue just pour out from him, that mm-hmm. that grace, that healing, the virtue that heals just poured out of him. And she was healed. She was just healed. If I can only touch him. And all we have to do is just call upon his name.
Thank you.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus.
Father, I thank you so much for Sandy and for his reaching out to people in this unique way, in this distinctive way that kind of cuts across the materialism of our culture. Lord, I thank you for that, and I thank you that he is linked up now with those that can help the poor and help the those that cannot have presents otherwise or cannot have really much of a sense of Christmas. But he has both the story of the Christmas and the gift of Christmas through his actions. Thank you for him. I just appreciate this brother so much. And Lord, I'm sensing a real conviction on my heart that I need to do some of the same thing. And I pray that you will just guide us as we are doing this ministry. And yet, Lord, you speak to us about our desires and
yes,
our
Lord.
Needs
yes.
and our wishes. We pray that you'll continue to do that mm-hmm. in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, Don, do you got anything we should be praying about today?
Well, I've gone through a number of medical procedures lately, and fortunately, there has been no big negative that has come out of it. But I am kind of scratching my head about, well, why did we do all of this? Why was this necessary, or was it necessary? Everything from a heart catheterization to an ultrasound of different organs of my body and things like that. Just, it's been really strange. And then on top of it, we sort of lost our car. It just became too expensive to keep up. So I'm learning to walk a lot more. And fortunately, I'm close enough to stores and things that I can do the walking, but it's helping me get back in shape. And yet it's just very strange to enter this new world where the car is not there. Mm-hmm. And it's a good thing. I see that as a good thing, because sometimes we get so caught up, and I'm speaking here personally, I get so caught up in just assuming, you know, people have nice cars. I should have a nice car. And I'm realizing I can't have a nice car, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Because that's not what I need at this point. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord blessed me yesterday. I was walking home from getting some groceries. I had a couple bags of groceries I was carrying for about, a little over half a mile. And a guy in a golf cart came up and said, "You want to ride?" And I said, "Sure." And we started talking, and it was like we were old friends, that we had been friends for years.
That's
the reason right there. I need to get with that guy and talk with him and get to know him better. It was an open door, and it wasn't a door I opened. It was a door that I walked down the road and God opened to me. So thank the Lord.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how he does. He gives us what we need, and he provides those miracles. That's a great testimony, Don.
That is. That really is.
I'm blessed. That's great.
Yep.
Well, I don't know if I should pray for you to get that there be a car in the future or not. Lord, I just lift up Don and the entire situation with the families, too, that, Lord, you know what's necessary.
That's right.
And we trust you that
pray
you
for transportation.
We just pray for transportation, whatever that is. And maybe you're just going to do some transporting like you did with Philip.
That's right.
Hey, you know? Yes. That's right. Yes.
With the Ethiopian eunuch, that you would be just transported. And I was just sharing that the other day.
Take the golf cart down by the river and baptize.
That's great. So we pray for that. We pray for that relationship with the man that gave him a ride too, Lord. Mm-hmm. Lord, your word says the paths of a righteous man are ordained by the Lord, and we just pray that this conversation is an opening for future sharing of the good news and who you are, Father God. I just pray that you just continue to take care of Don and those needs, that you know what they are, Lord, and continue to just be with him and that he would keep you in his presence and that you would manifest in his life, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Well, you read a little bit of Will Riddle's book. Do you have a Bible verse we can start out with?
No, I don't have a Bible verse. I have Bible verses.
Verses.
And of course, I have preparation for about 3.5 hours of because you get into it, but we're not going to do that.
Here we go. Part one.
I'm gonna cut to the chase. I could read some of the notes I had made, but I'm thinking differently. The fourth chapter in The Emmaus Road by Will Riddle deals with our relationship with God.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to cry because of I didn't have a relationship with my father. And so the relationship with God the Father, is just so important. And I always use, and this is from Luke again. And Luke, I was reading more about Luke. You know, the thing is, as we do these podcasts, as I dig in and I'm looking at commentaries and looking at things, I'm just exposed to more and more information. You know, Luke was the only Jew, a non-Jew, in the New Testament.
Oh, he was.
The only.
The only.
The only non-Jew.
Wow.
Probably a Greek physician. It's the longest gospel of the four gospels, as it covers 25% of the New Testament. Luke, and then I go on, it says, Luke sheds light on Jesus' private prayer life, you know, differentiating what about the Gospel of Luke? Why is that different than what is recorded in Luke that's not recorded in the other Gospels?
Right.
He sheds light on Jesus' private prayer life. He focuses on his humanity and compassion for the outcasts of society, of poor and social justice. He's unique in how he treats women and how he raises women up and discusses women as disciples. The Good Samaritan story is only in that. The Road to Emmaus is only in Luke.
In Luke, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Women are mentioned 45 times in the Gospel of Luke. And the abundance of food, I think we said last time, you know, and eating. And the analogy is that food, being at the Lord's Supper, you know, where it was earlier in Luke, and we read about on the road of Emmaus that the disciples' eyes were opened when he broke bread and blessed it and gave it to them, and then he vanishes.
That's right.
So, and that's a picture of us as a church, as we, the necessity of coming together, worshiping together, spending time together under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the family of God. That's the way the church is supposed to be. That's
right.
How we are to operate. So with that background, I was thinking, this is wonderful stuff. And then I've spoken on this many, many times when I've been ministering, and it's the prodigal son, which is found only in Luke.
In Luke.
Luke 15. Luke 15. And we'll start with, the thing is, I always preface this portion of Scripture as, if you want to know who God the Father is, If you want to know who he is and how he feels about us, you have to look at these scriptures. And I'm hearing it from you, Don, because it's true. That's who. This is how God the Father is. And I'll just start reading.
It's how he reveals himself.
And it's, he does. And it's like, and we can relate, you know, there's an older brother in this and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
So it isn't one scripture. It's Luke 15:11-32. So it's a lot of verses. But I can go through this quickly. Then he said, because he had two parables that he had before this. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided it. He divided to them his livelihood. So, and this was unheard of back in those times, because the father is still alive. And here's this younger son saying, you know, I want my part of the inheritance right now. You know, so give it to me. So what does the father do? He divides the inheritance. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions, wasted all that inheritance with prodigal living.
Right.
And who has been guilty of prodigal living? I've had my hand up right now. I've had that up because I did too. I wasted because I didn't know who he was. I didn't know who God my Father was.
That's right. I too wasted a lot. I mean, that's, you know, you might refer to wasted time, but prodigal living is wasting, you know, what you were given.
Right. Wasted what was freely given to you.
Right.
You know, the Father freely gave. But when he had spent all, that's it. You know, there are no credit cards. He didn't have any credit cards after that, so he couldn't borrow on things that he didn't have.
That's right.
You know, no credit cards. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine. What a nice coincidence. I don't have anything, and then there's a famine.
And I can't buy anything either.
And I don't have anything.
Oh, no.
In that land, and he began to be in want. I love how this version is. And he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine.
There you go.
Okay, here's a Jewish man.
Yeah.
And taking care of swine would be the lowest category.
That
would be hitting the low of any work to be done, because pigs were not clean animals.
They were looked down upon in that culture, and even something. I mean, why are they raising pigs if they did not eat it? Did they sell it to Gentiles or?
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's what it would be. That people,
you know,
would eat.
I mean, they were not. The Torah says not to eat cloven hoof animals.
That's right. Yeah,
they may have been Gentiles.
Yeah. Exactly. It doesn't say.
They may have been a Gentile. Yeah, that's true.
He said he just joined himself to a citizen of that country, and it probably was.
Well, you can have,
And it says, verse 16, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, but no one gave him anything.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I had a brother-in-law that fed swine, and the stuff he fed them. you wouldn't want to eat those.
And this is a key verse. I love this. Verse 17 says, but when he came to himself, when he woke up, when he thought, how is my life working?
That's called revelation.
Revelation. But revelation. When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? So boom, up to this point, he hadn't thought about his father at all. That would be my conclusion.
Yeah.
My assessment about it. He hasn't thought about his father at all, but it's like now he's at the lowest. He's feeding swine, he's hungering, and he's realizing my father has servants that are being better taken care of than me. So it's like, you know, maybe I should do something differently. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. So our sin is before God first. And then to the person that we're sinning against or whatever it is. We have sinned. We have crossed that moral ground, and we have sinned against the Father in heaven. So he's humbling himself because he realized, I not only sinned against you, my Father, I sinned against heaven. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son.
Uh-huh.
Help me, Lord. Make me like one of your hired servants.
Uh-huh.
And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion.
He was watching for him.
From the day he left?
I recognized him on the other side. I mean, he could see him coming across.
Yeah, because that was...
Just by how he carried himself.
That was his heart. That was my son. That's the heart of God the Father. That's the heart of a father.
Mm-hmm.
Father saw him and had compassion and ran towards him,
Wow.
And fell on his neck and kissed him. Oh, and realize how smelly and stinky he's been taking care of pigs. How awful and, you know, the hair and everything else. You can just imagine the smell.
But he ran,
but it didn't matter. Because the father said, there's my son. I'm going to run towards my son. He was waiting for him to come back. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But, I love but in this. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Cover him, in other words.
Yeah.
And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet.
Hmm.
His feet were filthy. And a ring signified, the ring was a family ring. It's a family ring. And for the father to give him the family ring is saying, he's a part of my family.
Well, that was like the credit card of the day.
That's right.
You bring that in and to the store and get some stuff, they put it on their tab.
Yeah. And you can imagine the people wagging their tongues saying, hey, because everyone knew that the son was out with prostitutes and spending money and acting crazily.
Oh, yeah.
And here's the father is saying, give him the best robe, give him the family ring, and give him new sandals. And bring, it says in verse 23, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry.
Hmm.
Let us celebrate.
Celebrate, yeah.
Now his older son... The older son, we can all relate to both these men, was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So what's going on? So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, the servant said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. Boom. Let's get in the mindset of the brother. But he was angry. The brother was angry. And would not go in. I'm not going in there. I'm not going to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Therefore, his father came out. There we go. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So here is God the Father pleading, you know, this example of God not letting his son be isolated or being out there, not feeling being loved. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment. I followed all the rules, all the laws at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends.
I chuckle because, he's all in a snit because he didn't get a goat.
Yeah. I'll get your goat. That's what he should have said. Yeah. That would be our modern day, I'll get your goat.
I mean, that's...
And then verse 30. This is how he refers to his brother. But as soon as this son of yours...
That's right.
Not my brother. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood and with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him?
Hmm.
And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.
You know, Sandy, one of the things that strikes me about your conveying this whole account is that God in the form of the Father, does not tell his son, okay, get washed up first, get cleaned up, change your clothes.
Preach it. There it is. Come on.
Smell good. Mm-hmm. He doesn't do that.
Then you'll be acceptable.
He just says,
That's right.
Yeah. Instead, he gives him these clothes, and he's not worried about the clothes getting dirty. He's not worried about the ring getting possibly ceremonially defiled.
Mm-hmm.
He's not worried about those things because his love for the son is so strong. Just that's all he's concerned about is showing love to his son.
Exactly.
That's just powerful, powerful.
Yeah. And that's how God pursues us. That's how the Father pursues us. And he says, come as you are. Mm-hmm. You don't need to clean yourself up. That's right. My job. Mm-hmm. That's my job. I'll clean that up. You are acceptable to me. And it's so important to realize that this time of year, too, as Jesus came as a baby in a manger, in a barn. By feeding troughs and stuff. That's how God the Father brought his son, the most humble. And for us to realize that God loves us so much that it's not only that we go after God, but he goes after us. He wanted to restore that relationship that was severed in the Garden of Eden. And he was willing to sacrifice his son so that we would have a relationship with him. It's not only that we have a relationship with him, but his desire is to have a relationship with us. And so that we can have that abundant life. So this is a word for all of us. So it's like when you see people that are down and out, where you see people that are on the wrong road or going the wrong direction, we need to cover them. I like what you said, Don. Give them a new coat. Give them new clothes. Cover them, and walk with them and be with them and let them know who God the Father is, that he really loves us.
And that's, as you mentioned earlier, I mean, that's what the Salvation Army, that's their mission, right there. I mean, right there. And I commend them for sticking to their vision over all these, you know,
hundreds of years.
They've stuck to the vision, not deviating, keeping their eyes on the Lord and the mission.
So that's the message I wanted to bring. Yeah. Because that's who God the Father is, and we need to know who that is. Because I grew up as a boy that didn't know who my father was. Even after I became a Christian, I didn't know who my father was. But he was revealed to me when I went to Toronto. It was called the Father's. It was called the Father's Blessing. And good Christian brothers said to me, and sisters said, "You need to go there, Sandy."
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful. That's why we as a body have to work together, and we have to encourage, and we have to know each other well enough that we say, and pay for us to go to these things or to be these things.
Right.
So that we can be whole. God wants us to be whole. He wants us to feel his presence on 24 hours a day so that we can bring the good news to a hurting world. Because like you were saying earlier, it's like we need to bring kindness. We need to bring forgiveness. We need to bring generosity. We need to bring compassion. We need to not pound at people. We need to listen, quiet ourselves, and show people who he really is. Because God is wonderful. God is good. Remember, we just said God is.
God is.
He is everything. He is everything we need. I think about your situation with your house. He's provided all the answers when I thought, what is going on here? Right. And I've been with you for decades, Kevin. I've known you for decades. And I've looked at how the Lord, you're a living testimonial about how God provides for you and your family. And it's inspirational to me. That's why we need to share these stories. And we need to look at the Bible, because Luke recorded things that weren't anywhere else. It's like, you know, it's like the Good Samaritan. The religious person walked by. Here was a person beat up on the side of the road, beat up, left in despair, and the religious person walked by.
In fact,
went to the other side of the street.
Yeah.
You know?
The religious person.
But we can't do that. No. We can't do that.
We don't need religion. We need Jesus.
We need Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
There it is.
We don't need religion. We just need our relationship renewed.
Restored. It's just like your house being restored.
That's right.
Relationships being restored. Oh. It's all about restoration.
That's it.
Yes.
Being restored to God, the Father, right from the beginning. So.
Yep, and we're setting aside a special room there that I'm going to redesign from scratch, you know, as a, you'd call it a studio. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to have a place to go and a table to sit at.
Hallelujah.
And
I'm so excited.
Talk about God. I mean, it's discipleship. I mean, Don and I were talking about, you know, a paradigm shift, but I think it's more like seeing the light, you know, like, is this how it's supposed to be? You know,
I've got to share something that just happened right along those lines, because we went down to see in here, Handel's Messiah.
Oh.
At the Ordway in the Twin Cities.
Yeah.
And Pam's, what is it, Pam's cousin, Pam's niece's significant other sings bass. He travels around the world.
Oh, yeah.
Singing.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely fantastic. But the greatest story, not only that, because the music, it was like, I told Pam, I says, I feel like I'm in heaven.
Yeah.
Because the people that were singing were in the spirit, and they could see the soprano, the woman that was singing was just, you could just feel it, the atmosphere in the auditorium.
And when the singers were all in one accord.
They were. And they were all being intertwined because
there's
of
power
because
in
of
that. And that's
power.
And that's what Jesus sees in what we call the body of Christ.
That's right.
When we are all in one accord. No, right. It's not about me. It's about how do I fit in
that's
with this
right.
group
right.
that we're calling us Christians now, right. followers of Christ.
Right. Am I supplying the need that you
that's
you,
right.
that you've gifted me to
it
supply?
It says which every joint supplies.
And
that joint is a relationship.
That joint. I'm gonna come up with a.
Oh, so you're gonna come up with a term for joint.
But here's a great story. Pam found this place that we were gonna stay at in St. Paul. I have no connection with St. Paul, but she found this place. And previously, it was a convent.
Hmm.
A convent.
Yep.
And the convent was redone. There are 70 rooms in it. But where we had the breakfast area for the next morning, it was great because for breakfast, we didn't have plastic. We had china for coffee. We
yep.
had bowls. We had plates. But the greatest part of where the eating area was the chapel.
Huh.
The
oh, yeah.
chapel of the convent. And I felt in there, I was overwhelmed with knowing all the prayers that had been offered in that area. It was sacred. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
kind of like...
It's holy ground.
It's being in holy ground. It's like,
holy
take
ground.
Off your
yeah.
sandals and be in holy ground. So it's like, I'm going to continue to go back to there.
That's right.
But that night, we were trying to figure out how we were going to get to the Ordway. It wasn't that far away. It was like a 10-minute walk, but Pam wasn't able to walk. And so the guy at the front desk, we found out, was the owner. He was the owner of the place, co-owner.
Yep.
He offered to give us a ride free in his
wow.
BMW. Todd, I'll never forget that. So we crammed into the BMW, and he gave us a ride to the Ordway. And it's like, that's like you were
wow.
saying. Like you were saying, Don, with the golf cart. God just yeah. provided, and I was just so blessed. I thought, this is incredible. I'm going to go back to this place. They had pictures on the wall. There was a picture of a nun bowling outside with a bowling ball on a thing on the grass.
Yep, yep.
And there was another picture. I've got both pictures. I'll have to show you them, Kevin. And the other picture was five nuns playing trumpets and trombones, a brass section.
Oh, sure.
You
certainly.
Know? But they had the original paintings that they had restored that the nuns had done in 1906 in the place. So
wow.
the place is just phenomenal. So I wanted to share that because that's how God provides the way. And he blesses us with all these miracles. It's like, how does that happen? You know, Pam is talking to him and he says, well, I can give you a ride. You know,
yeah.
So it's yeah the Celeste Hotel in
That's
downtown
right.
St. Paul. It's just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
yeah, and you didn't have to spend your money on expensive transportation
no.
or car.
Not at
and
all.
What do you get? You get a BMW.
Interesting.
You
open
you know?
Up the door and the light from the BMW shines out on the
yep.
on the street.
Yep.
And it says BMW.
Right.
I was just
that was the extra touch
right.
there, God saying.
Yeah. But I just want to kind of leave with realizing that God is everything. He's everything to everyone in the audience. He wants to be everything.
That's right.
And as we come to this Christmas season, realize that Jesus was born and then he lived, and we did the road to Emmaus last week, is that we want to stay on the right road with him as he joins us on the road.
Right.
Just like the Father He was looking for his prodigal son to return from the moment that he left. And he opened up his arms, kissed him on the neck. I mean, think about this. Smelly son. And we can all kind of relate to this. But that's how much he loves us. He loves us more than we love him. He loves us more. He is love. And he pursues us even when we don't pursue him. He still pursues us.
Right.
So I'm just thankful. I'm thankful.
Thanks be to God. Yes.
Amen.
Thanks be to God.
That's right.
So that's my short.
Lord, we thank you so much for this wonderful time together and for how we can learn from each other and also just share with every person that's listening. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. It is something you've given. It's something that you've blessed us with. And Lord, we pray you will bless others with it as well. Mm-hmm. And that you will just bless the ministry and continue to guide us as we look into some new and different kinds of things for the future. We pray that you will give us perfect guidance in that and know when the right timing is, the right place, the right opportunities. Mm-hmm. Lord, we pray that we will be sensitive to how you lead in all of this. Mm-hmm. And we will give you all of the glory and the honor because you deserve every bit of it.
Yes, yes.
In Lord. Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's it. Bless you, Brother Don.
Thank you.
Bless you.
And here's Harmony Smith with what it's like to worship as a worship leader.
This city. I've lived here for 20 years. I didn't expect that Belfast would become my home, but I love living in this place. I'm so blessed by the peacemakers that I have met, the wonderful people of Northern Ireland that have shaped and formed my life over the last 20 years. I've also been up close with the tribalism and the division of this place, and it has broken my heart. I'm a worship leader, and so one of the things that I've been trying to find recently is a song that just says, Jesus is Lord. Given all the chaos and the conflict in our world and in this place, how can we gather around Jesus as Lord? Because the thing is, it's not okay to say for God and Ulster, for God and something else. It's Jesus. Jesus is Lord, and that's it. That's all there is. Jesus is Lord. And all the other ands need to fall away. And so I was worshiping and I started to sing this line, I give you my allegiance. And I started to just pray around that. I give you my allegiance. Jesus, what does it look like to give you my allegiance? And so out of that came this song. And the song is about what does it look like to give Jesus my allegiance? And what I've had to wrestle with myself as a leader, but just as a human, is I don't want to just say Jesus is Lord with my mouth. I need to say Jesus is Lord with my life, with how I live. And that's what it really means to worship.
You are listening to the Gospel Trail.